while the children are leaving, and I went back this morning when I got here, just kind of patrolling around, looking and seeing what's going on. And I don't know if somebody cleaned it up or not, but if you didn't clean it up, I didn't find one drop of water. And it rained enough that the drain out there outside the front door was full of trash. If it kept on raining, it would have been through the front door because we forgot to take that little cover off. But, walk back through there and see all that dry. And I'm thinking, wow, been a while. Been a while since that. Hallelujah. What we got here? Thank you, Jesus. I think the camp was a little difficult on some because they didn't make it today. But you're all here, aren't you? Are you here? Good. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. I need these. My wife's mess here straightened out. Yeah, that'll work now. Hallelujah. God, I am loud. And God, I am not happy. I just wonder what kind of reaction you had to that in the bulletin this morning. You know, I really haven't enjoyed the last 10 or 12 days. I mean, if I had it to do over, I'd do something different. I ended up going to the hospital on the 18th. I was in there 11 days, and the first thing they did when I went in there was take my food away from me. Took the food away. Then when they did give it back, what they gave back was not much. And I had no appetite. Nothing tasted good. And I was in there 11 days. And in that situation, I gained 24 pounds. I thought, man, you know, because I had started a diet a couple of weeks before that. And I thought, you know, I'm doing pretty good, a couple of pounds a week, and I'm headed in the right direction. And then I get in there, you know, and I'm laying in there and no food at all. And I'm thinking, boy, this would give a great big jump to this. So I came home on Thursday, stepped on the scales and weighed 24 pounds more than I weighed the day before I went to the hospital. I didn't like that. And you know, I spent some time last year in the hospital with a heart valve replacement and everything. You know, I'm just getting tired of what God's doing to me. Now, God and I have already talked about this. So he's not hearing it for the first time this morning. But you know, the way God treats us sometimes, don't it make you want to quit? And I know right now at this point all of you are in about a state of shock. But when you look back and you look at all the things that are going on, and I say, you know, you look and you say, God, I've given you 40 years of my life. I've preached the gospel 40 years. What do I get in return? Look at this mess. And You know what Job said about it? Job said to his wife, if we're going to take the blessings that God gives us, then don't fuss about the adversities. And I can rant and rave and go on and on about how things are unfair and how life is unfair, and I'm just going to quit. I can walk away from my calling. I can choose an alternative lifestyle. And I don't mean that. Don't narrow that down too much. I'm just talking about a different lifestyle other than serving God. And just say, okay, God, I don't like the way things are going. God, I am not happy. And then God says, oh, so you're blaming me. Well, who else is there to blame? I don't blame you. I have to take the blame. I can remember years ago, over 30 years ago, when we got baptized in the Holy Spirit and we started hearing about faith and we started seeing what God wanted us to have, exposed to the Word of God more than we'd ever been in our life. And I saw people turn around and walk away from God because they didn't get what they thought they ought to got when they should have gotten it. And the thing about it is, some of these people came out of backgrounds where they actually believed and lived a life thinking that all the stuff that happened to them, God was behind it. He could beat them silly, and they still would serve Him. They didn't know that God was a healer, but they loved Him anyway, right through the middle of their sicknesses. They didn't know necessarily that God wanted them to prosper, but they loved God in their poverty. And then they heard that God wanted to heal them, and God wanted to prosper them. Beloved, I wish above all things you may prosper me in health, even as your soul prospers. Read John 2. And so they started pursuing the prosperity. They started pursuing the healing. They started pursuing all of the benefits. And when they didn't happen exactly when they thought they should have, in exactly the way that they thought they should have, they get put out with God and get all pouty and walk away. You realize what we were singing this morning, and my wife didn't have a clue when she went through those songs, picking them out. You know what we were singing this morning? Every song, if you will remember, was talking about where we are going, that Jesus is our reward, that heaven is our destiny. We didn't sing about healing and prosperity and all of the good things happening and none of the bad things happening. And yet it's the adverse things that cause people to walk away from God when they really ought to press further into Him. Let me ask you this. This is something that God and I talked about. If you decide for any reason, that's for you that are sitting in here this morning, for you that may be listening on the internet, if you decide for any reason that you are upset with God and you might just decide that you're not going to cooperate with Him, I'm taking my marbles and I'm going home. It's my basketball, I'm leaving, I'm going to my house. So you're just going to make a decision and say, okay, God, I'm going to punish you by leaving. I'm just going to leave, God. I'm not coming back to church. I don't like them people. Somebody smiled at me, and I know they were thinking something silly. They were laughing at me. Well, that preacher's not going to stand up there and talk like that to me. How do you know it's you? You know something? If somebody stood up here and at the top of their voice said, "You've got to stop stealing," I wouldn't even walk out of here and think, that preacher can't talk to me about that, like that. You know why? Because I'm not a thief. You know, anytime somebody walks out of a presentation of the Word of God and they feel like somebody was talking to them, must be some evidence that they're guilty or that they fall into that category. So what do? We just walk away from God. Where are you going to go? The only way you can walk away from God and have any, well, you can't have any, but let's just assume. The only way that you can walk away from God is to decide that you don't believe that there is one. Because how in the world can you walk out on God when you know that there's a God? Okay, God, I'm finished with you. A wicked fool says to himself, there is no God. Yeah, I believe in God. I'm just not on good relationship with Him. Well, what's your outcome going to be? If you believe in God, you ought to want the best relationship that you can have with Him. All this walking out, pouting, and all this kind of stuff. You can look at stuff and I can say, okay, God, I'm never preaching another sermon because look at what you've given me after 40 years. But you know, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't make much difference what I say. And I mean in the sense of it doesn't change the way it is. I can rant and rave against God all I want to, but it doesn't change God. I can present any kind of an issue, any kind of a problem, and God's never going to say, well, wait a minute, I made a mistake. I see your point of view now. But I know people that just walk out of God's life like it's no big deal. They just decide, okay, God, I'm not going to serve you anymore. In Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 3 and starting with verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Because you choose to do something, does that change God? Because you choose not to believe something, does that change God? You decide to rebel against the Word of God, does that change the Word of God? You know, you never got a vote on the Word of God. God never gave us the Word and said, here, vote and see which part of it you want. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. Everything that I said at the beginning of this sermon about God and about walking away and about blaming God and all of that, I fall into the category of a liar. Let God be true. Let me read you a definition of that word true. It is the opposite of falsehood, concealment, and human inconsistency. You know, we don't lie because we choose to lie sometimes. We lie through inconsistency. We're not always consistent. We're not always the same. There's a fluctuation in human behavior. God is faithful to His promises. He is incapable of falsehood. Incapable of falsehood. If He says He heals all of our diseases and forgives all of our iniquities, that's the truth. And no experience that I have makes any difference in the truth. I didn't sign up to go through what I've gone through in my life. I didn't sign up to go through these past 11, 12 days. I didn't sign up to go through the heart surgery last year. I never volunteered for that, but I got it. And I got through it. And the best thing that I can hope for is how did it affect me while I was involved in it? Did I come out of it mad at God, or did I come out of it praising God for the victory? You know, God promises us that we are overcomers. And we don't necessarily know what it is we're going to have to overcome. But our overcoming is just like our vision of what we sang this morning. It's the end results. You know, I'd have a whole wall in my house. I'd have a whole wall in my house filled with medals. If we got spiritual purple hearts for being wounded. Now, I don't know if I just have the lack of ability to stay out of the front of the bullets or what. But you see, I've recovered from every wound. There may be a fatal one somewhere down the road, but I'll recover from that one too. I've just got to keep the right attitude. I am not going to throw away eternity because I think I'm getting a raw deal from life here now. Some things are a result of a direct assault by the enemy. Other things are a result of the fact that we live in a world that got thrown out of balance years and years ago, and we're bringing it back into balance, and God is working on it, and one day it's going to come back into harmony with itself. But until then, we are going to be caught in the middle at times, and we're just going to have to survive it. And we do that by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Now, let me finish reading this here. He's incapable of falsehoods. It assures us that his utterances agree with reality, are authentic, and harmonize with historical fact. In other words, God is right every time. Now, does God plan these things for me? No. But when I find myself in one, I can either be destroyed by it or learn how to overcome better the next time. The day is coming when there will be no more tests. The day is coming when there will be no more trials. The day is coming when the clouds will split, Jesus will come back, and all the stuff that we have to deal with will be gone. But until then, we've got to persevere and overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And not feel like walking out every time something don't go to suit us. It's amazing. I want to jump to one other scripture real quick. 1 John chapter 2. While we're going there, let me throw this in. This is a seed. This is a little, maybe it's a rabbit trail. But, you know, there are people that seem to have a reservation or a distrust or are leery of too much grace. But did you know to have trouble with grace is to have trouble with the gospel? And God just kind of spoke to me, I think it was last night. And I said, okay, Lord, I see what you're saying. What is one of the most popular, greatest songs of the church? Amazing grace. Wonder why it's amazing grace instead of amazing faith. Wonder why it's amazing grace instead of amazing works. Because the kernel, the key to all of it is grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. If there was no grace, your faith would be useless. We use our faith to appropriate God's grace. I heard one of who I consider to be an excellent teacher, Bible teacher, particularly on the subject of grace. Listening to him the other day, Andrew Womack. And you know what he's talking about? He's talking about faith. He's talking about the fact that God gave us enough faith in our spirit when we were born again that it'll get anything done that we need to get done. I listened to his message and I said, there you go. You don't have to choose between faith and grace. There's no conflict between the two. You need them both together. You need faith to believe in the grace of God, and the grace of God's the thing that God did to get everything going. For by grace are you saved. What's the word saved mean? Whatever you need it to mean. See, it doesn't mean just being born again. It means healed, delivered, prosperous, at peace. It's all inclusive. For by grace are you healed. For by grace are you prosperous. How do we activate that grace? By our faith. For by grace through faith. Be full gospel. See, it comes down. Is Jesus your reward? Are we telling the truth? Jesus, you are my reward. If he is, you'll hold on to him no matter what's going on around you. But if what he has to offer is your reward, and you don't get it the way you think you ought to get it, he'll say to you one morning, what are you pouting about? Well, nothing. You know, most of us are not brave enough to face God face to face and say, I'm pouting because I don't think you're fair. Oh. In other words, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, if you want to put it that way, I've got some suggestions if you just listen. Okay. Where were you? Where were you? Remember that chapter? Where were you? So, is he our reward? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That doesn't mean you don't love life. When he's talking about here, do not love the world or the things of the world, it's talking about the world system. Talking about the way the ungodly choose. Talking about the way that people make decisions and the course of direction that they put their life in based upon something other than the Word of God. Anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, for all that is in the world. All that is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know, I like to keep up on what's going on in the world. And at the same time, I just like to shut it out and not even look at stuff anymore. Because there is some really, really strange stuff going on in the world. People are nuts, brothers and sisters. I mean, you look at things and you hear people say things, and you know, I've about come to a conclusion that out there in the world, nobody's got the answer. Nobody. You know, the Democrats don't have the answer for our situation here in the United States. And the Republicans don't have the answer for our situation here in the United States. You can't even be sure that there is an answer. The only thing that we know as an answer to any of our problems is in here. And nobody seems to be jumping too many hurdles to find out what's in here. As a matter of fact, when you've got groups that are protesting, having prayers at a funeral service in a national cemetery for a veteran that got killed in the war defending his country, and they're saying it's not right to say a prayer. It offends us atheists to say a prayer. And you wonder whether or not the powers that be are backing them up. And I'll tell you what, the only thing that is immune from the collapse of the world, the only thing immune from the collapse of the world is the kingdom of God. At some point this morning, I was thinking about, I know what it was when I said there's more Christians outside this country than there is in the country, in the world. Do you realize that in the country of China, there could be a Christian population the size of our entire national population, and it would still only be a very small percentage of the people that are there? I mean, when you're talking, what is it? 3 billion? Is that anybody remember? I looked, but 1.3 billion in China. Okay, 1.3 billion. Do you know a billion is 1,000 million? So we've got 1,300 million. 1,300 million. Yeah. If 10% of the population of China was Christian or is Christian, there's more Christians in China than there is in the United States. There's a world out there, and that world's not going anywhere. And the world is passing away. And the lust of it. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. When we side with the world, we are passing away. When we make our choice based upon whether or not something's popular with Hollywood, we're passing away. When we accept the moral standards of the world, we are passing away. When we accept the economic standards of the world, we are passing away. The only thing that guarantees us, and you see, I just have to choose to believe this. I just choose to believe that this book works. I don't have enough time to spend 25 years trying to decide whether or not I can prove that this book works. I just need to say, okay, God's Word works. If there's a God, then serve Him. If there's not a God, then forget it. Quit trying to find some convenient place in the middle. Put our whole selves in. And these little things like flashes of epiphany come every once in a while. And I know that years ago there was a saying that came from a song, I believe maybe it was in the Broadway musical, I don't know. Hitch your wagon to a star. Hitch your wagon to a star. And you know the meaning of that? If you want to be prosperous and you want your life to be good, hitch your wagon to a star. In other words, aim high. Well, that little flash came into my mind here a few days ago, and it's like God said, you better be careful what star you hook your wagon to. He said, there are stars out there that you don't want to be hooked on to. And I heard this. If you're going to hook your wagon to a star, hook it to the bright morning star. Because that's the only one that's not going over the cliff. Don't hook it to the angel of light. Or you're on a collision course with disaster. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, the desire. Think of all of the things that people are trying to use to feel fulfilled. And there's some things that don't even make sense. They just don't make sense. Now, they make sense to the person that's involved in it, somewhat, surely. But they don't make sense when you look at the whole picture. What is the real, true sense of accomplishment, of getting hooked and addicted to drugs? What's the real accomplishment of becoming an alcoholic? What's the real accomplishment of sexual immorality? When it's all done, what's been achieved? How many people can say, I'm the man I am now. I've got the world by the tail. I've got my wagon hooked to a star. And it's all because I'm a drug addict. And yet that's the biggest problem we have in this country. You know what that says to me? It reflects the hopelessness of people in the world. How did you get to become the president of this company? How did you get to become in the Fortune 500? Oh, you want to know how I got to be this way? I got to be this way because I'm a drunk. How did you get this job? How did you get this degree from this school? Oh, I got this degree, and I got a 4.0, and I got this job waiting for me with six-figure salary. You know how I got it? I got it by partying and skipping class. And yet people choose those things and then at the end wonder, what went wrong? We choose to follow the world and then when we end up with our face smashed against some wall somewhere and no way to go any further, we say, what went wrong? And then that's when we walk away pouting at God. When the whole reason we were there to begin with is because that's what we chose. You know, there might have been something I could have done, maybe, I don't know, to have avoided these 11 days in the hospital. But I didn't. And I got them. And you know, it's not really a big issue about why. As far as, I mean, you know, if there is a why, how many times we go through stuff and we never get a why? We never get a real reason. We just went through it. There's many things that we'll not have a reason for. What do? We trust God and we're going through it. We go through it. To not trust God in every situation, regardless of whether we like it or not, is turning to the world. I cannot wholeheartedly serve God and pursue the things of the world at the same time. I don't believe God wants us sick. I don't believe God wants us poor. I tell you what I do believe. God wants us faithful. And that part is our choosing. Am I only going to be faithful as long as everything goes my way? Or am I going to be faithful even in the midst of something that looks like a stinking mess that I don't deserve? Our choice. But I'll tell you what, sticking with God in the end is going to pay off. Because the other way is passing away. Let's stand. One other comment. You see, my article in the bulletin this morning, that wasn't me saying that. I just quoted a bunch of Christians that I know of. that are always going around, whether they're saying it or not, they're saying it. God, I am not happy. Like it's His fault. Let's bow our heads. If you're not happy with God this morning, get in agreement with Him. It'll be wonderfully beneficial to you. Because He's on your side. He wants the best for you. He wants you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And your soul prospers by feeding it upon the Word. By placing it inside of you so that you've got it to rely upon. So I challenge you this morning. And with nobody looking around, heads bowed, anyone raise your hand and say, Pastor, just lift me up this morning in your closing prayer that I'll have the faith and the strength to make sure that everything's right with God. Anybody anywhere? God saw that hand. Lord, we come before you this morning. It really comes down to what we want. Really comes down, Lord God, to what we decide to choose. And Father, I pray this morning that as we're here, that there'll be a decision made to say, okay, I choose the kingdom of God. I lay aside the other things. I'm not going to be swayed by anything that's happened or anything that's not happened. But I'm going to be faithful. And Father, I pray for your people this morning. That we just make the choice. And when we make the decision to commit to you, you provide all that's necessary for us to walk in it. And I thank you, Lord God, for touching your people, ministering to them. Bless them this week, Lord God. Let the encouragement of your word and the strength of your spirit be theirs. In abundance. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll be here tonight at 6 o'clock.